Hello everyone, and welcome to this episode of Lucy Talks. I'm your host, Lucy Woodward, and I'm so excited to have you listening to this episode. I really hope you enjoy it. Lucy Talks is designed for meaningful conversations about things that really matter in life. From climate change to confidence, from mental health to happiness, I hope this podcast helps you find something you're looking for. Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you are well, I hope you're feeling good and having a lovely day. So yeah, this is the big old 21 things that I learned at 21 episode. This is now the third one of these that I've done. The first one I did was 19 things I learned at 19. I did one last year, 20 things I learned at 20. And yeah, I've been 21 this year. So this is 21 things that I learned at 21. I want to give like a little bit of context before we start, but I'm going to try and keep it quite brief because it's a big old list and I want to get through everything and have loads of time to kind of speak about it in a good pace and just fully get immersed in it. So yeah, let's get stuck into like a little update about my week and how I'm kind of feeling currently. Because I recently listened back. I never listen back to my episodes. Like, just, I don't like doing it. But I listened back this week to my episode from last year, the 20 things I learned at 20, because I wanted to make sure I wasn't like repeating myself, or just interested to like see the difference from where I was then to where I am now. But yeah, it was really nice like seeing just the kind of day-to-day things that I'd been up to back like a year ago and seeing how that had changed. So I'm going to do that for a bit of context and just to like keep the flow of the week-to-week podcasts going on as well. So yeah, I've had a good week. I've been pretty productive and it's been, yeah, needed to be productive because my final ever uni deadline is in less than a month now, which is crazy. Like I can't really fathom being out of education because I've literally been in education since I was four, so it's really quite strange, and I think it's definitely going to hit me once I've finished that like that's it, and I'm kind of out of the education system now, out of that kind of comfort blanket, if you will. So yeah, I am excited to be finished, but I'm kind of trying to soak up the last bit but also just crack on and, you know, get my head down. And We've had quite a lot of library days, which has been nice. Gives you a bit of purpose to kind of get out of the house and, yeah, different change of scenery, basically. And then when you come home, you can just, you know, come back and relax, which is really nice. So, yeah, I definitely missed that in lockdown. I think I missed having, like, different places to go around. But, yeah, so basically I've been getting on with my work and just using evenings to kind of do things for me, which has been really nice. I'm still on the like no social media streak, I guess. So it's been about 2.5 weeks now, almost 3 weeks actually, coming up to 3 weeks. And I'm still loving it. Like I do need to get it back because I've got a couple of like work bits for my job with the uni that I need to do, to make a couple of reels and stuff. So I do need to get it back next week, but I think I might just delete it again after. I'll see how I feel. I'll probably get sucked in again, but I kind of don't want to. Yeah, it's just given me a lot more time to like think about what I actually want rather than just being consumed by everyone else's stuff all the time. And I think consuming everyone else's content seems quite innocuous and not a big deal, but then now having the break from it, like it's really given me some time to have a bit of perspective and to kind of focus more on my work, to have a bit of time to think and like just exist without scrolling on my phone. Because I've definitely been guilty of, not that it's a bad thing really, but I think a lot of us kind of get home from a busy day and immediately kind of, you know, out of habit, go on your phone and start scrolling. And I'm just quite enjoying like having that time to get home and like actually, I mean, I do get on my phone and I'll like check messages and reply to people and stuff, which is good to talk to people. I like that. But it's not the same as, you know, you have more say in that than you do when you kind of go onto social media and just immediately like start consuming all of that. Anyway, you can listen to last week's episode if you want to hear my thoughts on social media. I'm not going to try and go into that whole wormhole again in this episode, because I will do. It's definitely on my mind at the moment. But yeah, I've been really enjoying the kind of free time that I've had. And to be honest, I'm not even hating doing the work. It's kind of quite nice, like, seeing it all to come together now. So we've been working on this project since October. So it's nice to see it all come together and to understand, like, why we did it in the first place. But yeah, I had a nice lunch with my friend Ezra the other day. We were, like, sat by the lake on campus, and this little squirrel, it was so cute, this little squirrel, like, came right over to our bench, like, really close. They're really tame. And we were, like, feeding it a little bit of bread, and it was, like, on its hind feet, like, coming up to get the bread. And then it went and sat up in this little tree on a perfect little, like, nook in the tree, and it was just nibbling at this bread. And then it came straight back down for some more after it had finished, and then went straight back up to the same little bit on the tree. It was really funny. Yeah, it was nice to see Ezra. And then last night I saw my friend Abby, and I played some korfball last night, which was good to get back to it, even though we were kind of just messing around. And I went to the gym for the first time in ages. So yeah, it's like, it's nice having, yeah, I feel like I'm really appreciating the stuff that I'm doing outside of work. But yeah, I think we should get into it now, because otherwise this episode is going to be, like, literally an hour long. Although maybe it's quite nice if it's an hour long. I don't know. I'm quite enjoying at the moment listening to really long form content. So I've been listening to quite a lot of, like, 2-hour podcasts or like, really long vlogs, like 40-minute vlogs, and I'm just really enjoying it. You can just have it on, like, I don't know, it's nice. So maybe, we'll see. I'm just going to go with the flow. But what I'm going to do is, like, imagine that I'm kind of reading this list out to me a year ago, and just kind of really comparing where I am now to where I was a whole year ago. Because, I mean, I am the same person, obviously, but, like, I feel like a really different person in a lot of ways. I feel like I understand myself a lot more. I feel like the perspective I have on things has changed quite a bit. But I am aware, like, that is kind of, I don't know, I'm not sure how much to trust that sometimes, because I feel like you always look back and think, oh my gosh, how naive was I, kind of thing. But also, you know, it's worth, like, taking a bit of time to acknowledge where you are now and to see everything that you've done in a year. I think birthdays for me, well, when I was little, obviously it was about the excitement and the, you know, having a birthday party and getting a bit older. This year especially, I'm not that excited for my birthday, but I'm just like, I don't know, I always get a bit kind of existential around my birthdays. I was telling this to Freya the other day, and, like, I don't know, I really, like, find it quite uncomfortable, the fact that a whole year's passed, and the idea of time passing really just freaks me out sometimes. So the fact that I'm currently 21, but by the time you hear this, I think I'm going to put it up on my actual birthday, I'll be 22, and, like, 22 sounds old to me. I still feel like I'm 18. Like, I think the other day, I don't remember what it was, but I think it was maybe at the doctor's or something, and they asked me, I don't even know when it was, I don't think it was at the doctor's. Anyway, someone asked me how old I was, and I genuinely almost said 19, and I was like, sorry, no, 21. I don't know, I feel like COVID, that's a impact of COVID. Anyway, stop rambling, Lucy. So yeah, aim of this is to reflect on where I am now compared to where I was last year, and I guess to pat myself on the back a little bit, but also just to just have a bit of fun with it, and to kind of, I've really enjoyed, like, making this list. I've been making this list for the last, like, 2 weeks or so, just compiling it. I'm sure there's things that I've forgotten. And unlike previous years, I'm also going to do 5 things that I want to learn in the next year, and, like, things that I acknowledge that I have no idea about, or that are really, is, like, a big gap in, like, what I want to know about or learn about. So yeah, at the end I'm going to do a little, like, 5 things I want to learn in the next year. And also, someone said recently that you should celebrate your birthday by letting go of something instead of kind of accumulating more things, which we naturally do around a birthday. Well, maybe not naturally, but, like, I feel very grateful to have people give me presents and that sort of thing. But someone said you should also celebrate your birthday by letting go of something. So I'm gonna, explain what that is as well. But yeah, let's get into the first thing on my list. So cue the little music and then we'll get into it. Okay, the first thing on my list of 21 things that I've learned at 21 is that I can get through so much more than I think I'm capable of. So much more. If someone had sat me down, imagine I'm sitting myself down this time last year. If I'd have told myself everything that I would have gone through in this last year, I would have been like, Jesus Christ, like, no, thank you. I don't want to do that. Not that this year has been a bad year in the slightest, but the lows have been pretty hard, and I'm not going to sugarcoat that. And I'm really proud of myself for getting through it, to be honest. Like, I feel like we don't give ourselves enough credit for, like, I don't know what to call it, like, the soul or the spirit or, like, the life inside of us that is who we actually are. Like, that spirit, like, maybe our body will take a hit or our mental health or whatever else, but, like, the little, like, fighter inside of you can actually get through so much more than you think. And that is just what I've learned this year. And I feel like now I have a bit more appreciation for, okay, if something bad happens, like, I'll be able to deal with that. And it's quite a nice perspective to have. So I think that's thing number one. And this is going to be a deep episode. I don't know if you're expecting it not to be, but, like, buckle in, because of course it's going to be a deep episode. The second thing is that things take the time that they're supposed to, and we tend to think that, like, you can kind of control how long something's going to take, or that you can kind of speed things up, speed the process up, but honestly, things are going to take the time they're supposed to. This can be, like, loads of different types of things. So maybe you're stuck in a traffic jam. That traffic jam is going to take as long as it wants to clear, and there's nothing you can do to speed that process up. You've just got to sit in it, and you can either choose to get really frustrated by it or to just, like, accept that and let it take the time that it takes and to, you know, deal with it gracefully. Something like healing from something bad that's happened to you, like a breakup, or if you're dealing with grief or anything like that, like, healing from that process, I just don't think you can rush it. It's not something that fits in with our, like, hectic day-to-day lives. You just have to let it take the time that it takes. Equally, moving on from something, learning a new skill, like, that's just going to take the time it takes you to learn it. Reading a book, like, something I've thought about recently, I've seen quite a lot of people, it probably is just the people that I tend to follow, but anyway, I've seen quite a lot of people be sponsored for, what's it called? Shortnote? Something like that? I can't even remember what it's called. But it's basically an app that, like, does really short form. It's called Short Form. Short summaries of books, so that you can just, like, read the summary and that's that. I don't know how much I agree with that. I think it's good in some senses, because, like, if you really want to know what a book's about, or you want, like, decide whether you want to buy it, or I don't know, maybe you just genuinely don't have enough time to read it. But I think surely the whole point of, like, reading a book is you kind of learn things as you go along throughout the book. And just by reading the summary, like, do you get the same sense of the book? I don't know. I'm not sure. Probably a lot better for non-fiction books than fiction books, but yeah. Things like cooking. I've been thinking this quite a lot recently when I'm cooking. You can't speed that process up, really. I mean, there are, like, gadgets and whatever that you can do to speed the process up, but food that's cooked for slower and longer, not that I do that much, but it tastes better. And, like, I don't know, all of these different things, maybe, like, seeing someone again, like, you can't speed that process up. Time is going to take the time that it takes. Did that make sense? I don't know. You can't rush time, basically. It's got a mind of its own, and I think I've got better at accepting that this year. And also on this thread, if you're, like, dealing with something at the moment, I think something that's really helped me to, yeah, move on, heal, whatever else, is appreciating that one day in the future, you don't know when in the future, but one day in the future, this particular problem or this particular thing that's bothering you or causing you pain or whatever else, one day it's not going to be a part of your life anymore. And you might look back and think, wow, like, I don't know, I have a real appreciation for who I was in that time, or you, I don't know, like, this is just what that version, this is what the present version of you is dealing with right now, and you can't really do anything different to change that. So it's really hard to accept sometimes, but I think appreciating that, like, nothing lasts forever, I guess, I found it really helpful. So I think those two things, like, tied together in one whole point is that you can't control how long things take. Things are going to take the time they're supposed to. Number three is that we're going like proper existential at the start, just to get us stuck in. You never truly know if something is good or bad. I've spoken about this on the podcast before. I can't really remember the specific episodes, but you never know if an event is a good thing or a bad thing at the time. And really, like, those events are never actually good or bad. It's just our perception of them that affects how we see them. And something that I've really learned to ask myself is, how is the worst thing that's ever happened to me the best thing that's ever happened to me? And I think if you can do that in a really tough time, then you can reframe anything. And yeah, I've really liked that little question to ask myself. I've done a lot of kind of journal prompts on that. If I'm dealing with something pretty tough, then I try to, like, reframe it and think, okay, it's, you sound pretty crazy when you're doing it, but, like, how is this pretty awful thing that's happened to me the best thing that's ever happened to me? And that little reframe, like, changing how you see it, changing how your brain thinks about it, and changing how you think your life is going to be after that, then it makes, like, the world of difference. And I don't know, nothing's good or bad, you don't know in the time. I've definitely told that story before. I think it's like a Chinese proverb of the man who buys a horse, and everyone in the village is like, oh my gosh, like, amazing, you've got a horse. And he's like, maybe, maybe not. And then his son has an accident on the horse when he's riding it, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, like, how awful, I'm so sorry. And he's like, well, maybe, maybe not. And then it kind of goes on like this. There's then a war, and his son, because he's injured, can't be drafted into the army. So he's like, well, everyone else is like, oh my gosh, you're so lucky. Like, wow, how good fortune. And he's like, maybe, maybe not. And it kind of, yeah, it goes on like this. Good things happen, well, supposedly good things happen, supposedly bad things happen, but you never know really if that event is going to be a blessing or a curse, if it's good luck or bad luck. You can't know that from the point of the story that you're at. So I think keeping that in mind is quite nice, and it's definitely come true in my own life. For example, the breakup that I had last July, that was like a really, really difficult thing to deal with, and like it was really rough, and it was not a good situation at all. However, it has led to, like, the most self-growth that I've ever had. It's led to me understanding myself better. It's led to understanding what I want out of life and the sort of behaviour that I want to tolerate, and just, you know, deeper connections in different ways, new people. Like, it's been, I've learned, like, a lot about myself, and I feel like I'm in a completely different position now. So I wouldn't change any of it. Like, I wouldn't change it, even though it was a really, like, hard thing to deal with, and it was, yeah, not very nice. But, like, one bad thing happening to you doesn't mean that, like, the rest of your life or the rest of the year can't be a really positive thing. Like, I think you get the point. But yeah, the third thing is that you can never actually know if something is good or bad for you. And yeah, reframing things and just seeing things with a bit more of a broader perspective is a power move. Okay, number four is another little superpower, I guess. And it's that writing is so fundamental to my well-being and understanding myself. And, like, if I'm in a bit of a crisis situation, like, I don't know, maybe that sounds a bit dramatic, maybe not even crisis, just, like, you know, you're always going to experience the whole plethora of emotions, and it's just, yeah, it's a fun way to document, and I really, really value it. The other day, actually, I was a bit kind of like, what's it called? Inception moment. But I was like reflecting in my journal on the practice of journaling, which is the most extra thing ever, I'm aware. But I was thinking, like, when I was a kid, I wrote all the time. Like, if this is kind of quite innate to who I am, I think. I used to write stories and journal entries. Well, I guess it was like a diary at the time. But I did that. I remember having a diary when I was 8. I remember having one when I was like 11, 12. And I think just kind of life got in the way a bit. But I've really always been writing. And I used to love creative writing at school. I've always wanted to write a book. Like, it's quite a fundamental part to who I am. And I've just really like learned to value it a lot this year. So yeah. Number 5, I think we're on, is that Taylor Swift is a bloody mastermind. She is so intelligent, so creative. Like, I have so much respect for that woman. And I don't know, I feel like, so Taylor Swift, I've loved Taylor Swift since I was, I don't even know, probably like properly since I was about 12 or 13. And I don't know, I've been quite like, as a teenager especially, I was really, really shy about like what I liked. I was really scared to like show any kind of real interest or like passion in anything. And I think maybe the only thing that I allowed myself to do that in really was like schoolwork, which sounds so depressing. But I really like, I don't know, I was surrounded by people who also cared about school and like doing well and that sort of thing. So it probably wasn't that much of a, like, it wasn't very out there to do that. I think when I was about maybe 14, 15, I started to be a bit more like, I don't know, to show other people what I cared about a bit more. But it was definitely like something that didn't come very naturally to me. Anyway, I've always like loved her music, and I just think she's so, so intelligent. And just the way everything like links together, the way she's literally created this whole like 3-hour production of her tour. No one else has really done that before ever. She's like the most sold out, I think she's the most sold out female artist ever. Don't quote me on that. But I just like love her songwriting, like the lyrics especially. Just, you know, it's amazing. And it makes everyone, well, it makes so, so many people who listen feel so seen and understood. And I just think that's like such a beautiful thing. So yeah, that's my number 5. I've loved for a while, but this year I'm just like, you know what? I'm proud. So there you go. Number 6 is that I find so much inspiration from conversations, from hearing about people's life stories, hearing about like what they've been through to get to where they are now, hearing about what they're passionate about. Like I was just saying, I think I've always been quite scared or like shy about showing passion, but I love it in other people, and that's probably linked. And I love it when people like really care about something. Doesn't really matter what it is, obviously within reason, but I just find it so inspiring. And hearing like motivational speakers, I know that some people find them quite cheesy or whatever, but like I love it. I'm here for it. And I recently went to QWIP, which is a conference for undergraduate women and non-binary people in physics. And I loved it. There were so, so many inspiring people. People that you don't normally hear from in the world of science specifically, and particularly in the world of physics. And it was so inspiring. Equally, people that I've had on the podcast, I'm thinking about conversations with Mary Black. I'll come back to that later on. Conversations with people that are close to me that I just like really admire their strength. And you know, it's just like, it's a great, it's just one of the like most, what's the word, I think good conversations are something that I like always will strive to have in my life. And yeah, it's what I always value as well, like in an evening, if me and my housemates are sat around chatting, like having a really good conversation, like nothing else, I'm not thinking about anything else really matters in that moment. And those are the best kind of conversations, when you're like really kind of in the flow of it, and everyone, there's like a balance of listening and speaking and just, you know, learning more about other people and how they got to where they are now, I think is one of the most inspiring things for me. And note to self, like, this is really important. So yeah, leading on from that, the next one is, if you want to do it, you can make it happen. I think this is true with a lot of things, and I do recognise that there is a lot of privilege in this, but also I've seen so many, it's probably also like survivor bias, where the people who are talking about their experiences, the ones that have made it, I acknowledge that. But I do think that sometimes you've got to take accountability for where you are, like, regardless of the privilege or the luck you've had so far in your life. Like, I don't want this to come across in the wrong way. And that's why I'm saying this first. Like, I do acknowledge that. I'm not trying to say that if anyone puts the same amount of work in, they'll get to the same place. But I think that self-belief goes a long way, essentially, is what I think. I think if you want to do something but you don't think you can make it happen, then it's not going to happen. So in order to make something happen, you have to believe in yourself. I think that's what I'm saying. So I'm thinking with this, things like getting fit and starting a new like workout routine, or starting a new society, putting yourself out there, starting a new project, saying no to something as well, I think is like pretty hard as well. But you have to believe that you deserve better, or believe that there's other things, particularly if maybe you've been offered a job but you know it's not right for you, that kind of thing. Like, you can make things happen. A particular example recently for me was like asking Paige to come on the podcast. So I met Paige at a event that the uni was putting on. It was like a sustainability careers event, and afterwards I just went up to her and I was like, would you want to come on the podcast? And like, taking that step to go up and go and speak to her, it's not something that comes easy to me. So yeah, I was just like, I really want to do this, I really want to like speak to her more, and I made it happen. So, you know, like, yeah, I think, like I said in the very first one, you can do a lot more than you think you're capable of, and that self-belief really goes a long way. I'm definitely still learning this one as well, by the way. I think this is the sort of thing that takes a lot of practice and a lot of like continual work to get through. Okay, I'm going to try and speed these up a little bit because I realise we are well into the episode already. So the next one, number 8, is that good managers make a world of difference. And I feel really, really lucky that my first manager in my internship last summer, Poppy is probably not listening, but she was an absolute gem, and I really, really appreciated like the support and the freedom to kind of do what I wanted to an extent, the like critique and helping me like understand better what was needed from me, like the whole kind of manager situation. She was just really, really lovely and really supportive, and I think that that is something that a lot of people have said as well, like if you have a good manager, that's makes such a world of difference in how you're feeling about your job. And if you have a bad manager as well, like that is going to play a big role in how much you enjoy your work. So yeah, I think I learned that this year, and if I'm ever in a manager position one day, I want to make sure I'm a good manager. Okay, next one is that I think I've learned to loosen my control on achievement, and particularly like academic and career success, I guess. Maybe not. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how well I've done this one. But I think I've definitely learned. So what I've written down is I've learned to loosen my control on achievement and focus more on effort and attitude. And I think I have learned this. I definitely think there's room for growth in this. But, you know, I think I have a lot more of a healthy balance now between working hard and also enjoying life. Like, I want to work hard at things that I really care about, and like at the moment I'm working really hard because it's kind of the last push. But I think all in all, I've got a much better like work-life balance situation going on, and I think in fourth year that's been really helpful and really needed. And I think I definitely learned this like while I was on my internship as well, because like I said, my manager was so lovely and like really, she really kind of emphasized like, once you go home, don't be thinking about work. This is when you're in work, like you're working, and when you're at home, you chill, like that kind of thing. And going forward, I want to have that kind of attitude as well, because, you know, you can always work harder, but taking that time to like, you know, be and not be doing all the time is really important as well, I think. The next one is that there's a lot to be said for the idea of home and that feeling of home. So last summer on my internship, I loved the work, but I did feel quite untethered. I was like staying in, it was like through spareroom.com. So I was staying in just like a bedroom in someone's house in Didcot. It was an interesting experience. I think I enjoyed the summer as a whole because like I was really enjoying the work. I spent a lot of weekends like going to see friends and going to like festivals and that sort of thing. And it was a really good summer. However, I think at the end of it, I was just like, I'm really craving home. And I think I've built a really good sense of home here at uni. Gonna be so sad to leave this uni house. We've been here for like since the start of second year, so like 3 whole uni years, and I'll be really sad to leave it because I've really got a sense of home here, and I really missed it over the last summer when I was kind of here, there and everywhere, and the kind of like home house that I was living in was, it didn't feel like home, and I really noticed like how much of a difference that made to how like emotionally stable I was. Obviously other factors as well, but you know, but I'm also really excited for like building the next home, if that makes sense. I don't know where that's going to be yet. Building also just a sense of home in like myself, and when I'm traveling, trying to like be quite grounded, I think, as I do that is something I want to try to do. But yeah, I think home is really important, and we often undervalue that, and we kind of hear this narrative of you need to go out there, you need to go get it, you need to like go and see things and try new things. But we rarely talk about the fact that like coming home to a really stable environment where you feel safe and understood and you've got good people around you, like that makes a big difference and is really valuable. I'm gonna take a bit of a water break because my throat is getting sore. Okay, what are we on? We're on number 11, I think. Okay, number 11 is that I can be really harsh on myself sometimes. My brain is not always the most fun place to be, and I know that a lot of people have this as well, but like, our brains can be really nasty, and I think that this year going forward, like, that's something I want to try and work on, as I'll speak about later, but I think recognizing as well that that's not actually me, that's my brain and, you know, conditioning and everything else trying to put blame on me. But I think I can be quite harsh on myself, and I really think I've learned that this year, which is good because then it means that I can improve on it. And I think that self-worth underpins everything, and your brain is so influential in how much of a sense of self-worth you have, like how much you value yourself. I think that's all I have to say. But also, your brain is not you, your thoughts are not you, so I'm not like beating myself up for the fact that I am quite harsh on myself sometimes, but I'm just like recognizing it, you know. The next one is that forgiveness is for you. This is like, this takes a while to sink in, I think. So mistakes are always going to be made by you, by other people, whatever, but they need to be learned from, I think. And I think that also includes forgiving myself. I think I'm a lot better at forgiving other people for the mistakes they've made, as I am for forgiving myself for the mistakes I've made, and that goes into the last one. But I think I just want to, like, I think I've got better at, I don't think I'm there yet, but I think I've got better at forgiving myself as long as I learn from the lesson. So I'll forgive myself the first time, and then if I do it again, well, then that's when I need to kind of, you know, start to kind of take action on that. But I also think more deeply, I guess, that forgiveness is so much more something you give to yourself than it is something you give to the other person, because it doesn't actually affect the other person whether you forgive them or not. It only affects yourself and how you feel about that event. So say someone stole something from you and you're really resentful towards them, you're really angry about it, you don't understand why they did it. Eventually, forgiving that person, and I'm not saying like, so that behaviour is obviously not acceptable, and I think there's a difference between letting people walk over you and being like, yeah, fine, like I'll forgive you whatever you do. And like, it's not so much about forgiving. It's really hard to put to words. I'm gonna think about this. I think it's like, it's not about accepting that behavior and being like, yep, that's all good, like I think that's really cool, I'm happy that they did that. It's not so much about that. I think that's kind of a little bit like toxic positivity. But forgiving someone for what they did to you allows you to like let go of thinking about that, and letting go of like that consuming all your energy and everything you think about. That's like something you're giving to yourself. That's really gonna help you to heal from it, and to, I mean, heal is a bit of a strong word in the sense of like stealing something or whatever, but from maybe not, I don't know. But I think I've learned that like forgiving someone for what they did is so much more like about finding peace with it in yourself than it is about kind of accepting their actions. It basically just like lets go of any bitterness, letting go of any like grudges you have against them, and stops you being like, well, if they, you know, oh, they did this to me, they like being a victim, I guess, and taking responsibility for how you feel about it now is within your control, and is, I guess, that is forgiveness. It's like, well, this happened, but I'm not going to choose to let it bother me anymore. I'm going to, you know, support myself, and yeah, I think that makes sense. If it doesn't, then I think this could be a whole episode in itself, to be honest, this concept. But as you've seen, I can't explain it. I can't really put it into words. So there we go. Okay. What number are we on now? Okay, we're on number 13. I guess this is a similar vein. You can't control people. You really can't control people. And people only change for themselves, not for anyone else. So like this podcast, for instance, I could be like, you should do this and this and this to be happy. People aren't going to act on it unless they want to, unless they think that it's a good thing for them, and unless they want to do it. Like, people change for themselves, and they don't change for anyone else, really, at the end of the day. And yeah, I think it's quite nice, like letting go of that control. Like, you can't control what people do. They're gonna do what they want to do regardless. And it kind of frees up a bit of space to like just do what you want to do, you know, because everyone else is doing it, so why not? Number 14 is that friendships are gold dust. This is proper cheesy now, but don't take your friends for granted. I think as well, tough times are gonna show you who your real friends are and who actually cares about you. So yeah, I am incredibly grateful for all of my friends. And I think now, like, the really good friends that I have, they're really good friends. They're really, really good friends. And I really appreciate that. And I think hopefully they know how much I appreciate them. But like, I could always tell them more. Yeah, really, really valuable. And I think like something that I'm reflecting on at the moment or thinking forward about is what is going to be like this time next year, like who I'll be living with, where I'll be, I really don't know. And yeah, like I think living with friends and having such good house dynamics for all 3 years of living in a house at uni, like it's been really, really good. It's been so valuable and just, yeah, the best environment. So I'm really grateful for it. And I want to like consciously not take my friends for granted because they're magic, you know? Okay, we're gonna do a few little quick fire ones to speed things up a bit. So number 15 is that my weight fluctuates quite a bit, and I am a lot more okay with that than I used to be. I'm definitely not 100% okay with that yet, and I've also learned that, and that's okay. But yeah, your body is gonna change, and it's always gonna change, that's natural. Your weight can fluctuate, it doesn't mean you're like, you know, yeah. Anyway, quick fire, right? So that's number 15. Number 16, don't trust social media. It's also kind of addictive. Yeah, refer to last week's episode for that. Number 17, counselling or therapy is so much more beneficial than you can imagine, or that I imagined. And it's also something you shouldn't be ashamed about. I've experienced a lot of anxiety this year, and that is, you know, just how it's been. I think counselling's been an incredible tool. Just, yeah, if you're at university especially and you are experiencing any mental health problems or just kind of not like, not anything diagnosed, just like having a bit of a difficult time, whatever, I strongly advise you to go to counselling because it's free at university and they're so supportive, and I've really, really found a lot of value in it, and it's been incredibly helpful to me. I think, yeah, obviously, so I've only had like free counselling at uni. I've not paid for anything, so it's a different situation, I think, if you have to pay for it, because obviously that's not always accessible to everyone. But if it is available to you, and or if you can afford it, then it's nothing to be ashamed about, nothing to be embarrassed about. It is so much more beneficial than you can imagine. Number 18, pretty deep this actually. We're all gonna die one day, and I think we hide from death a lot. So recently I've finished reading Soul for Happy. God, is that a good book? Honestly, such a good book. The last two chapters have blown my mind, and I haven't really spoken about it properly on here yet. I know I've mentioned this book, but like, my God, these last few chapters of this book. So he speaks about death, which is something I don't think people do very often. And yeah, we're all gonna die one day. That's just how it is. It's the same as we were all born one, like we were all born, we're all gonna die, you know. It's just part of how it is. And it just makes me appreciate things more. When I have this appreciation for like, wow, I've woken up another day. How lucky am I to wake up another day on this planet, in this body, with this life? Like, you can't have a day again. There's a little like phrase I quite like, which is, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. And it's kind of like saying, you can't go back and do things again. You can only do it for the first time, like living in the moment that you're in. 4,000 Weeks is another brilliant book that I would recommend. It is by, Oliver Berkman, and I read it probably almost a year ago now. Absolutely brilliant book. Also Soul for Happy by Mo Gowda, definitely recommend. Just brilliant, will change the way you think about life. Okay, number 19 is that I think I've learned that not everything in life needs to be shared. This goes back to the social media thing. I think that keeping things back for yourself, doing things for you, enhances your life so much. And there are things that I could share on this list that I'm not going to, because I don't want to. I don't want to share literally every little detail. And I think it's important to recognize that. And it doesn't mean you're not being honest. It doesn't mean you're hiding things. Like, I'm sure the things that I've written down separately on this list, I will share at some point in the future. But right now, I don't really want to share it. So I'm not gonna. Okay, what are we on now? I think we're on 20 now. Have I missed any? I feel like maybe I could have skipped one. So if I have, I'm sorry. I don't think I have. Okay, number 20. It's okay to be wrong. It's so okay to be wrong. And the issue that we have with being wrong is just our ego. It's not actually us. Like, we don't actually really know that much about life. There's so much that we don't know. And I'm probably wrong about a lot of things. And equally, I'll probably have to learn a lot of the things that I say that I've learned in this list again and again and again and again. But yeah, it's okay to be wrong. It's actually quite good, and it means we're all human. And, you know, if you are the sort of person like me to find yourself getting quite defensive, particularly with family, I tend to find this, or in situations where I'm trying to like prove myself, I find it quite hard to be wrong, and it's quite uncomfortable, but that's just my ego. So it's okay to be wrong, you know. I'm wrong a lot of the time, as everyone is. And the final one on this list of 21 things that I've learned at 21 is something that I've learned from Mary Black. I guess this is my, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given this year? So Mary Black, I had on the podcast a couple of months ago now. I would really recommend you go back and listen to that episode. I found her so inspiring. I think her work's really, really important. So I asked her the question, how can you kind of use your voice to enact change about things that you care about when some people have so much more influence than you do? Because quite often, particularly with things like climate change, I find myself feeling like a really, really small, a small person in a big, big world. And there's so much more, there's so many more people who have much more influence than I do. So Mary kind of humbled me quite a lot. And she said, well, the idea that you don't have influence is fiction. You're in the top 1% of the world, and these people that have all this influence were once exactly where you were. So like, study how they got there. And she said that if you wait until you're like the people who are higher up with loads of influence, then you're gonna miss the point. And I really like keep trying to remind myself of that and trying to let it sink in. And it's like, she said, it's like climbing a mountain. So you're on the mountain, you're not right at the top of the mountain, but you're not in the foothills, and you're definitely a lot higher up than many, many, many people are. Even by the fact that you're listening to this podcast, you're in a very, very high percentage of the world. Like, that's just how it is. And we have so much more power than we think we do. This kind of goes back to the first one. You can get yourself through a lot more than you think you're capable of. And also, you can do a lot more than you think you're capable of. Like, you can influence a lot more than you think. And we should, you know, be more confident in ourselves, trust ourselves more, back ourselves, not let fear hold us back, not let this kind of, oh yeah, but like, what difference can it really make? Like, that's off. Like, I'm gonna swear, I'm sorry, Nana. That's bullshit. It's just like, yeah, I really want to find more kind of power in myself and more confidence, and just to like take this advice on board and to use my voice. So yeah, thank you, Mary. I don't think she'll be listening, but I really, really took a lot away from that, and I think it's really valuable. Okay, so I appreciate this episode's really long, but I'm just going to keep going because there's more that I want to share, you know? Okay, so the next little mini list is 5 things that I want to learn in the next year. So 5 things that hopefully will be on my list for next year. And hopefully I'll still be doing the podcast. I'm sure I will be, but yeah, 5 things that I want to learn in the next year. Okay, number one is that I really want to learn a lot more about how female hormones and female bodies work. I have realised pretty recently, actually, how little I know about my cycle and like taking advantage of the different points in my cycle to kind of, yeah, live in tune with that and to like make myself more like, and to be healthier and to kind of use that in my life. And I have never really like done this. So there's an episode on Rangan Chatterjee's podcast, which is called Live More, something like that. Feel Better, Live More, I think it's called. It's an episode with Mindy Peltz, and I'll leave it linked down below. Really, really important if you're a woman. also really important if you're a man, because like all men interact with women, you know. And our society is so patriarchal that like we've all just been going along with the kind of cycle that men's bodies are on, which is like a 24-hour cycle. But women's hormones, female hormones, work so differently, and this is the world we live in is just not set up for that. However, like you can kind of take power back and really understand your body a lot more, and I don't think I understand my body that much, so I really want to like learn a lot more about this in the next year, and to kind of like practice living a bit more in tune with my cycle, and I might talk about this more in a future episode. I think I will, because it's something that I really want to get into a bit more. The next thing that I want to learn more about is kind of about nutrition and exercise. It kind of goes in with the last one actually, but I think this year I learned quite a lot about like gym and how to gym, I guess. I definitely don't know that much, and I'm aware of that, but I have a lot more confidence when I'm in there now, and I kind of know which machines to use and like have different workout plans for like legs and abs and chest and triceps and back and biceps and that sort of thing. Like I understand the muscle groups a little bit better now. I still don't know that much, and I would love to learn a lot more about this and to kind of have a bit of purpose with it. I think that's what makes me inspired to exercise, is like having a purpose. Like with Korfball, if we've got competitions or matches, that is like, I really enjoy that. And I think now that I won't have that, I want to still exercise and find something that works for me as I kind of move forward. So yeah, the next thing is that I want to learn how to tell my brain to shut up and to be more present and to like, you know, take a bit of ownership back from the way my brain talks sometimes. Another Mo Gawdak kind of thing is that he calls his brain Becky, and whenever his brain's being mean to him, he's just like, Becky, shut up. I don't want to hear from you right now. And I want to like learn how to do that a bit more, because I think it could be really, really valuable. The next one is number 4 and is kind of deep, but I want to learn that it's not selfish to rely on other people. It's not selfish to kind of have needs, and I'm not too much, I'm not too intense. Like people actually like me. I'm making this sound more deep than it is, but I want to kind of learn a bit more about like interdependence and trust and boundaries and all of that fun stuff, because I'm not very good at boundaries. I'm not very good at saying no, and I want to get better at it. Yeah. And number 5 on the 5 things I want to learn in the next year is that I really am excited to learn about different cultures, learn about how my culture that I've grown up in the UK has shaped who I am, and to learn about who I could be in different settings, like different contexts, different cultures. Also, I've been a student for so long, and I kind of want to learn like who I am outside of that uni bubble, outside of, you know, grades and education and physics and all of that. It's kind of crazy coming to the end of it. I can't believe how quickly the time's gone. But yeah, I want to learn like more about myself, understand myself better, learn who I am like outside of the context that I'm used to being in, basically. So yeah, that's that. And the final thing that I'm going to share in this episode is, like I said at the start, celebrating your birthday by letting go of something. So I encourage you to do this on your next birthday as well, and also just to make a list of all of the things that you've learned this year, all of the things that you want to learn in the next year. I think it's a really good kind of point to look backwards and forwards. So this year I'm gonna choose to let go of, I don't think this is gonna happen overnight, by the way, but I choose to let go of letting my fears around what other people think stop me from doing things. Yes, there's probably still gonna be fears about what other people think of me, but I want to let go of fear stopping me from action, essentially. So yeah, let's see. Hopefully I can do all of that. But I think moving forward, like, I'm just gonna not I'm going to try as well to not put so much pressure on myself and to just go with the flow a bit more. There's a few exciting things in the pipeline, so stay tuned for that. But honestly, thank you so much for listening to this episode. It's been a mega long one. When I'm recording this, I'm at like 57 minutes. So yeah, it's a long one. But last year's version of this had a lot of people listen to it, and a lot of people said they really, really enjoyed it. So hopefully you've enjoyed this. Let me know like what lessons you've learned in the last year. I'm really intrigued. And yeah, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lucy Talks. I'll be back again next week with another episode, and I love you loads. Bye.